Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just over 100 years ago tomorrow, the most horrific war up to that time came to an end. November 11th, 1918. Every year, that date is celebrated around the world as Armistice Day. Armistice simply means to stop fighting. And it usually precedes a treaty that formally ends a war. The war that came to an end over 100 years ago was the first of the modern wars. Today we call it World War I. This was the first war to feature planes and tanks and chemical warfare. The entire globe was involved, and about 15 million people were killed outright. It was so horrific that it was called the war to end all wars. And yet, only 20 years later, World War II would begin and would add to the global horrors with even more destruction, including two atomic bombs. World War I was a frightening time to be alive. People recount how they wondered if they were on the cusp of Christ's return. The death and destruction were of apocalyptic proportion. Humanity, in some way, still bears the scars of that war. For no one can really explain why it happened. Ultimately, all such things happen because our world is fallen, that humanity is broken. Scarcity causes men to fight against men, tribe against tribe, and nation against nation. The lust for domination propels tyrants and dictators upon a quest to dominate the world. In our gospel reading, our Lord gives us a glimpse of the world at the time of his return. And as bad as World Wars I and II were, this truly apocalyptic time will be all the more horrific. It looks like there will even be demonic deception or some kind of technology into fooling us Christians into thinking that Christ may be on the earth. But Jesus has warned us. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it, for false Christs and false apostles and prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. This future abomination of desolation that the future reader will understand when the time comes will precede what Jesus says is a great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, and never will be. We Christians, we will look to the heavens in hope, knowing that the Lord will come. He will come the way that he went up, not according to the lies of those who say, "Look, he is in the inner rooms. Look, he is out in the wilderness." We are not to believe them. For when our Lord comes, there will be no mistake, no wondering who he is. There will be no doubt about it. All the world will see. For as lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. We need to know this and remember it. We need to teach our descendants this. For when the time comes, brothers and sisters, either they or we will need to be ready. That is why Jesus said, "See, I have told you beforehand." For as horrific as this great tribulation will be, we have been told that it is coming. Like a woman's birth pangs and labor pains, we know that this agitation will precede something great and magnificent. The very coming of our Lord, the coming of our redemption, the vindication of the saints, as we heard in last week's first reading, that these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In Christ, they are sheltered by his presence. They suffer no want nor hunger, and all of their tears have been abolished by God himself. So how do we prepare for this eventuality? By being washed in the blood of the Lamb, by being baptized and living in it, which is to believe in him and in his word, to be immersed in the Holy Scriptures, to receive frequently the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and to pray, pray without ceasing. Pray for your children and those yet to be born. Pray for our families and for the Holy Christian Church throughout the world, that they would not give up their one hope in the midst of this great tribulation. Pay heed to the lesson of the Israelites, who, having been freed from bondage in the short span of 40 days, as Moses went to the top of the mountain, the people forgot about God and about his mercy, and their concerns became nothing more than eating and drinking and playing. They elevated entertainment to the level of worship. They replaced the divine worship with a party, with their own desires. They replaced the true God with a golden idol. And they led their own children into destruction by their unfaithfulness. Please do not repeat their mistake. Listen to what St. Paul says and what he taught us about these lessons of old. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. For as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, St. Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, on whom the end of ages has come. The end of the ages has come upon us, for Christ has come, and Christ is coming again. We need to be prepared, and we need to prepare our children for it. What could be more important? Only the blood of the Lamb can prepare us for this great tribulation. The very same blood that he offers to you here, along with his body, along with his word of warning and of comfort, of law and of gospel, along with the absolution that declares you forgiven, along with your own baptism that washed you with the blood of the Lamb and bound you to the saving cross. For like the Passover, when the children of Israel were spared the angel of death, we too will be raised from death in a bodily resurrection. This is why we Christians do not grieve as those who do not have hope. For, says the apostle, since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, and we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The entire history of mankind is one of domination and destruction, of not heeding God's word. But with our Lord's coming, by his death upon the cross, an abomination that results in our redemption, we are assured of salvation, even amid this unknown future abomination of desolation and this great tribulation against the people of God. For in the midst of war and destruction, of rubble and smashing buildings, of blood and gore, and the wholesale slaughter of millions of people, even in our own land, it seems as if peace is never going to come. But even in the midst of that great war, such as had not been seen from the beginning of the world until that time, over 100 years ago, tomorrow, the last gun fell silent. The last bullet came to a stop. The last combatants crawled out of their foxholes, shook hands, and went home. It was sudden, and the silence was deafening. One day, too, our broken world's warfare will come to an end. Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. The last sin will be no more. The last tears to stream from the face of the redeemed will dry up. And we will stop fighting. We will no longer be the church militant, but the church triumphant. There will be no more strife, no more attacks from the devil, the world, or our own sinful flesh. There will be no more scarcity or hatred between men, tribes, and nations. There will be an armistice that will have no end, followed by a treaty signed in the blood of the Lamb. And this, dear friends, will be the peace to truly end all wars, the peace that has no end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.